RFK. RFK Jr. says Kamala Harris never got fact-checked, and he also gives his opinion on what happened during the debate. We're going to spend 10 minutes on this. Make sure you hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel, and turn on your notifications. And then next, coming up after this, we're going to talk about how your taxes may change in 2025, courtesy of CNBC. Make sure y'all hit that like and make sure y'all tap into the Patreon. Let's get to it.
All right. One issue that did get a lot of attention from ABC's far left moderators was the weaponization of our Department of Justice. Donald Trump still made it a point of emphasis. Take a look.
Every one of those cases was started by them against their political opponent. And I'm winning most of them, and I will win the rest on appeal. And you saw that with the decision that came down just recently from the Supreme Court. I'm winning most of them. But those are cases. It's called weaponization. Never happened in this country. They weaponized the Justice Department. Every one of those cases was involved with the DOJ, from Atlanta and Fani Willis to the Attorney General of New York and the DA in New York. Every one of those cases. And then they say, oh, he's a criminal. They're the ones that made them go after me. It's weaponization, and they used it, and it's never happened in this country. They used it to try and win an election.
President
They're
Trump.
Fake cases.
All right, joining us now, someone who knows firsthand about the weaponization of justice, live from the Spin Room, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Great to see you. How are you?
Good to see you, Sean.
You left your party, a party that was near and dear to your father, to your uncle. I think it has no resemblance to the Democratic Party today. And this is the frustrating part about tonight, the radicalization, the views stated by Kamala. You know, they weren't asked by the moderators. To me, it was a failed opportunity. I think the American people were failed tonight.
I was disappointed by the evident bias of the moderators, who were fact-checking constantly, kind of trivialities by President Trump, but didn't, as far as I saw, they didn't fact-check Vice President Harris a single time. But you're right, Sean, the party that I grew up in doesn't exist anymore. The party of Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy was a party of peace. It was a party of resisting the corporate subversion of American democracy. It was the party of civil rights and constitutional rights, particularly censorship, very opposed to censorship and surveillance. It was the party of protecting the most vulnerable people in our society, including particularly children. Today, the Democratic Party is the party of war. It's the party of censorship. It's the party of surveillance. We saw Dick Cheney and John Bolton endorse, along with 255 neocons, endorse Vice President Harris this week. They came out of exile, where they were sent after the Patriot Act. They were sent after the war in Iraq, the biggest foreign policy debacle in American history. And they're not endorsing Vice President Harris because they've changed their minds. They're endorsing her because she represents their worldview: more censorship, more war, more surveillance, and less liberty and constitutional rights.
You learned a lot in the course of your campaign. They talk about democracy in peril. But everything, the entire force of the Democratic establishment, if you will, they just went in for the political, you know, death of your campaign. They did not want you to get to. Well, they didn't want you to get a first base.
That's the ballot. That's the other thing, is that they've abandoned democracy. At the Democratic Party is now about centralized control. It's about losing faith in the demos, the people. And about abolishing elections, abolishing our ability to hear different points of view, to hear dissent. In my case, of course, they got rid of the primaries. They literally abolished many of the primaries so that President Biden wouldn't have to debate me, wouldn't have to run against me.
Let me dip in. I guess Kamala's at one of her watch parties or something. I don't know what she's saying. Let's just dip in for a second.
And let me just say that I think we all know that tonight was a night that highlights something that you all have been working so hard on. We have folks here who have been knocking on doors. Well, you know, we have a lot of work to do, okay? And tonight, I think, highlighted for the American people what's at stake. I started the debate by talking about it, and it became apparent, I think, throughout those
that about an hour and a half. That
obviously she's going to go out there and her team. The thing that I learned about her tonight is, you know, being hidden away for days and days and days on end. You can learn your rehearsed lines, and it doesn't matter if you tell the truth, because she wasn't fact-checked. She told a lot of lies about Trump in 2025, lies about mandatory gun buybacks, which she did support.
Yeah, lies about it on her website.
Lying about fracking, lying about a national abortion ban that Donald Trump doesn't support. And, you know, it's hard when you've got three on one like that. But that's what I expect. She's been in this campaign 50 days. We only have 56 days till Election Day, but early voting, for example, I've been pointing out tonight, starts right here 1 week from tonight. There's a lot of information about her stated views in her own words that people don't know about. What would you advise the Trump people to do to get that out?
Here was the most telling part of the debate to me, which she didn't get fact-checked on the first question. Are Americans better off than they were 4 years ago? There's no metric you can use to make that case. And she was allowed to then go and give this kind of biographical sketch of herself without ever asking that question. And they never demanded that she ask it today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here.
And he's 100% right. They never demanded that she ever ask that answer the question. She was never fact-checked. And again, I think that the biggest travesty of this whole debate, because it took the highlight off of the actual candidates, and it started to place visibility on the actual moderators. Let me say that again. The debate wasn't even about the candidates. It was about the moderators. That's unfortunate. A debate should never be about the people that host the debate. It should never be about the people that ask the questions. You're supposed to be there in order to get the most out of the people that are saying whatever it is that they're saying on the stage. And again, sorority sister, beta male, the very first question set the precedent, and I realized that he was basically, and shout out to Trump. Let me give a round of applause to Trump and J.D. Vance. And the reason that I want to give a shout out to Trump and J.D. Vance is because they have regularly throughout this entire campaign, you know what? Let me take something back. They have regularly throughout this entire campaign went into enemy territory. They did the debate on CNN. They did the debate on ABC. They go and take all of the questions from NBC, ABC, CNN. They appear on their platforms. No scripts, stand in front of the reporters and take all questions. Trump even appeared at the National Association of Black Journalists, which Kamala declined to go to. But here's the thing. At first I was thinking to myself, man, this is a loss for ABC. They absolutely ruined it. Their moderators was trash. They put somebody up there to ask questions that is a sorority sister, and it absolutely went left for them. But then I started to think, and it just popped in my head right now, maybe this was a win for ABC. Not a win because they actually did a good job, but a win because they accomplished what they looked to accomplish, which was to paint this a certain way, not to be down the middle, not to be objective, but to push a narrative and to absolutely lead y'all down this pathway of destruction that's not in your best interest. Maybe ABC's goal the whole time was to either A, get back at Trump, or B, to lean more into the left. And so it was impossible for them to not be biased. It was impossible for them to be objective. It was impossible for them to not to be slanted or go one way. How could they? Why would they? Every future debate, I believe, needs to be in somewhere of a neutral territory. Maybe PBS could do it. Maybe Reuters can do it. Maybe the Associated Press can host it. Maybe just YouTube could host it or something like that. But my point is that we got to change the way that this stuff happens, because if you can't just let the stuff lay where it may and let the people say what they, you know, the candidates say what they want to say, and then just leave it out there for the people to determine and make their own decision. If everything is slanted one way and you're unable to be objective in your questioning, now I'm not talking about your assessment, I'm not talking about in the after hours, I'm not talking about in your commentary afterwards or whatever. I'm talking about when you have the people there to ask the question and let them answer it objectively, then you compromise. So maybe ABC did win it.